This is 5 Gospel Minutes of the International Gospel Hour, presented by Churches of Christ and individual Christians promoting New Testament Christianity. Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Dr. Jack Lewis's commentary on the Gospel according to Matthew affirms that the Jews under the law of Moses were required to fast only on the Day of Atonement. He justifies his conclusion from the following verse. Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Leviticus 23:27. Many of the Jews in the first century, according to Dr. Lewis, fasted on the anniversaries of some of the calamities that had happened to the nation of Israel. Volume 1, page 136. One Pharisee boasted of fasting 2 times a week. Luke 18:12. Jesus did not command or discourage fasting, but he did regulate it. Matthew 6:16-18. Matthew tells us that some of John's disciples came to Jesus asking him, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples fast not?" Matthew 9:14. Were John's disciples implying that they and the Pharisees were more spiritual than our Lord's disciples? Or were they merely seeking to understand Jesus and his message? Fasting is an appropriate spiritual activity, but does it necessarily make one more spiritual? It may make one more spiritual, but it may also form the basis for pride. It all depends on the attitude with which one approaches fasting and what he says about it. If he advertises his spirituality, he destroys any benefit he should receive from his fasting. Jesus said that the man who fasts or prays or gives alms to be seen of men has his reward, that is, in being seen of men. He receives no praise from God, only from men, and only from unthinking men. When John's disciples asked Jesus why his disciples did not fast, he responded, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast." Matthew 9:15. Obviously, in this context, Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. The expression "children" or "sons of the bridegroom" refers to the wedding guests. Why should they mourn when the bridegroom is still among them? Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is his bride. Ephesians 5 makes that truth very plain. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Ephesians 5:25-27. Jesus knew and often predicted that he would be taken away from his disciples. When that occurred, and we all know it did occur, there would be plenty of occasions for mourning and fasting. But while he was still with them, there was only room for rejoicing. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand fully the blessings they enjoyed by having him in their midst. While Jesus is not physically among us as he was among his immediate disciples, there are still many occasions for rejoicing. In fact, we are commanded to rejoice. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Philippians 4:4. How can we rejoice when the bridegroom is not actually with us? While he is not physically present with us, he provides comfort, hope, and joy. Jesus promised his immediate disciples, "I will be with you to the end of the age." Matthew 28:20. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, he will continually bless us and eventually give us a home in heaven. So what is our conclusion about fasting? There is no doubt of its advantages, but we have no right to parade our righteousness. My friends, thank you, and may God bless you.